out to Bamadou. Oh! Out cold! Wow! One of the greatest knockouts I've ever seen!
You are listening to John Anik calling one of his many bouts he has called for the UFC as the lead commentator. And we are lucky to have him today here on the Broadcaster's Broadcast with Andy Mounter. This is indeed the Broadcaster's Broadcast. I'm Andy Mounter, and I welcome you to our first broadcast. Indeed, it will be John Anik joining us today for the Broadcaster's Broadcast. And you're saying, I've never heard this show before. Well, yeah, because this is our first episode. So what I'm trying to achieve with this broadcast podcast is to see how people got into this business. And it could be in sports like John, or it could be in news. It could be even a podcaster who is under the radar. Maybe I can help bring them to the forefront a little bit in the podcast world. So that's why I wanted to do this. I'm indeed a broadcaster myself. I've done amateur sports like football and hockey. What I'm hoping to do, obviously, is to go be a major league broadcaster at one point. But right now, I just got a radio job up in Portland, Maine, doing news reads during the weekend, and that has not started yet, but it should be starting in the upcoming weeks. So that's my background, and like I said, hoping to get people to tune in to see, you know, how did that guy get, or girl, get into this business, and what makes them tick, what makes them really want to be a broadcaster, be out there, or as I said, a podcaster. So that being said, as I said before, here's our first guest, and it's Mr. John Anik from the UFC, and welcome to the program, Mr. Anik.
My pleasure, buddy.
I'm just wondering, how did you get into the biz? What made you want to go into broadcasting?
Well, you know pretty well sort of how the journey started. At first, I wanted to be a sports writer, and eventually the goal became radio. The goal wasn't necessarily television, but I think for a lot of kids growing up in Boston, we desire to be on WEEI Sports Radio 850, which was a juggernaut, certainly when I was a kid. But eventually I made my way to ESPN Radio in Bristol, Connecticut, and was afforded an opportunity to join ESPN.com in a digital television capacity. And that essentially paved the way for a lot of what I've been doing in combat sports. I did host a boxing radio show, as you well know, back at 1510 The Zone about 20 years ago now. And that kind of laid the foundation in terms of some of my combat sports repetitions and experience, so that when ESPN.com was launching MMA Live in 2008, I got an audition, got that job. And then 3 years later in 2011, I joined the UFC. I didn't grow up a mixed martial arts fanatic. I didn't grow up a martial artist myself, but certainly thankful that this is the wagon that I've hitched myself to.
Do you miss being on the radio here in Boston? And are you glad that you moved out of Boston and now that you're national?
Well, I'm happy to be out of the cold, and certainly happy to not be dealing with the traffic epidemic that has arisen in Boston, Massachusetts. But yeah, I mean, I think part of me misses that back and forth with callers and sort of the vibe with listeners. I get some of it through my podcast, which I've been doing for 8 years, the Anik and Florian podcast with another Bostonian, Kenny Florian, but it's different. We're not taking live calls. So I think I'll always be a radio guy and consider myself a radio guy, and podcasting has sort of given me a platform to do radio, but I'm not sure that anything will ever take the place of doing sports radio in Boston.
What do you think of radio's future now that it's sort of falling apart? And are you glad you're out? Take, for instance, here locally in Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, they're even having budget problems, even though they're the number one station in Boston.
Yeah, it's a tricky dynamic. And I'd be lying if I said that part of the impetus for me doing television wasn't financially driven, right? But yeah, I mean, I do think that the climate is a little bit frustrating. It frustrated me when I was at ESPN Radio in Bristol, Connecticut, 2005, 2006, really all the way up until 2011. They were going in a direction of solo acts. And I never considered myself Colin Cowherd nor Ryan Russillo, not on that level. I never enjoyed doing a show with just myself. I always wanted a co-host. And potentially part of that was budgetary. Even if it wasn't, I just didn't necessarily like the direction in which they were going with a bunch of solo shows, and just really enjoy more doing the live events. Of everything I've experienced in sports media, there's nothing like calling live events. And once I got an opportunity to do that for the first time, doing some boxing at ESPN, doing some college football, kind of crystallized for me what I wanted to be doing, and that was play-by-play.
Would you like to go into more major sports like baseball and football for play-by-play?
Yeah, I think I'll always desire to do football, even if that opportunity doesn't materialize. I think that is something, an itch that I'll always want to scratch. Baseball with 162 games a year, certainly not. This is actually the first season, Andrew, that I've had any desire to do baseball because they effectively changed the rules and made the game shorter. I mean, imagine being a baseball broadcaster and now they invoke these changes and you get to go home earlier. You know, juxtapose against what I do, your average UFC live event is 7.5 hours on a headset. So a little bit of a different beast. But no, baseball, the everyday, the lulls, that's not for me. I prefer a much faster pace that we get in MMA.
Is it like Joe Buck, for instance, cutting back on baseball and moving to ESPN and just doing football? Do you think it was because, like you said, the long schedule?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing all sorts of big games, and I don't know exactly how he handled his balancing act annually in terms of how many football assignments he has versus basketball assignments, but baseball, I should say. But yeah, it's a lot, right? It's a lot. And I think that if you really want to be devoted to that craft, you see a lot of the guys are localized and they travel with the team, and really, I think, allows you to open up a lot of cans and dive in. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, having done baseball highlights at ESPN.com, I always enjoyed baseball as a Red Sox fan. I enjoyed capstoning a home run with a call on a highlight, and ESPN.com afforded me that opportunity. But I do think getting to like game 120 with 42 to go, I don't know that I'd have an appetite for that. And certainly I don't know that Joe Buck ever did 162 games a year. I could be wrong.
You work with a fellow local guy, your analyst is Joe Rogan, and the UFC president is Dana White, who's also another Boston guy. Did it help that you happen to be from that neck of the woods for the play-by-play job?
I can't say that it helped. I certainly can't say that it hurt. And there are a lot of people from the Boston area, even some of them like Donna Marcolini, dating all the way back to Dana's first days there. I don't think it hurt, my man, but I don't know that it helped any necessarily. But it is pretty cool with Joe. And Rogan obviously grew up a lot differently than I did. He grew up a martial artist. I grew up a rabid Boston sports fan. So I'm not sure if you probed my man Joe Rogan that he could name 6 or 8 Boston athletes, and he wouldn't have it any other way.
I recently saw a clip from his podcast, Joe's podcast, saying that you are the greatest broadcaster of all time. How does that make you feel?
Well, I consider him certainly on the analyst side to be the greatest of all time. His words are humbling, and I think his words resonate with the average American male age 17 to 58.
No, Joe,
more than any other person in the world. So sometimes I think when he trots something like that out there, it can become the public perception. I can sit here and tell you that Jim Lampley on his worst day is probably better than me on my best day, but it's very flattering from Joe. And obviously he's ingested a ton of martial arts and combat sports in his life. So the fact that after 6 years, you know, doing all the shows with him, that he feels that way is very special to me.
I kind of think he's sort of like Howard Cosell of this generation. He was a comedian. He wasn't a UFC pro, but he did fight. And that's sort of how he learned how to be a broadcaster in the UFC. You think he's sort of an outlier in that he is not a true fighter, but he's still an analyst for you?
Yeah, I mean, of all the broadcast partners I have, he's the only one that didn't compete in mixed martial arts, but he has an outstanding striker's background, combat sports background, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. So certainly has earned that seat many times over as an analyst. And it's a damn shame that he's never been even nominated for an Emmy nationally in this country. I think it speaks to the relative infancy of mixed martial arts that he has never even been nominated, because he's an elite analyst. I mean, by any barometer, personality, analytics, He passes every test. He checks every box. So hopefully that happens for him at some point in time. But yeah, I guess it is a little bit of an outlier in terms of what his background is. And I also just think it's interesting for him being a celebrity on his level is crazy, right? Like other than Conor McGregor and maybe even Conor, he's more famous than all the fighters. And I think sometimes the fighters are just as excited when he's putting a microphone in their face as they are to actually win the fight. So it's cool to sort of see that and to have a bird's eye view to all of that stuff. And I guess above all else, he's just a really great, genuine dude, which is nice to be able to say.
Does it personally bum you out that he has all these controversies? His comments are rung through the media, and people like Neil Young leave Spotify because he is exclusive on it.
It's a good question. Candidly, not one that I get a lot. And I kind of have my blinders on. You know, I got my three kids, 11 and under. I can't necessarily ingest his every word. And I think politically, diplomatically, I'll say for the most part, Joe and I are aligned. And I think he handles the controversy that comes with being an A-list type public figure as well as anybody that I've ever seen. But in terms of how I navigate that, we talk about coffee, we talk about cannabis, we talk about martial arts. We don't really talk about the things that that really matter, I guess we should say. But yeah, I give him a lot of credit for putting himself out there and being as convicted and as knowledgeable as he is on a number of different subjects.
You brought up Conor. Were you disappointed in his performance when he moved to boxing and losing to Floyd Mayweather? And then he came back to the UFC. Were you glad it ended the way it did?
Well,
Personally.
that was a one-off, right? And I think relative to most expectations, he performed fine against Floyd Mayweather. I think my bigger disappointment is just the relative inactivity, and that has been in some part a byproduct of his wild success, not just as a fighter, but as a businessman and the biggest superstar in mixed martial arts history. But I do believe that the itch that he's trying to scratch can only be scratched in the octagon, and I do hope that we see him at least twice in 2023. At least three times over the next 18 months or so. I know that might sound ambitious for a guy that hasn't competed all that often, but I think that that he really does desire to be in an active fighter's competition schedule, and that just hasn't been his reality for 4 or 5 years for one reason or another.
Do you have any advice for someone like me who, quote unquote, is older, who's trying to get into the game of broadcasting?
So there are a couple things. First of all, I think you need to crystallize what you are good at and what you are not good at, right? And then also figure out what you like doing and what you don't like doing, right? So for me, I got to ESPN and I realized I didn't want to be a highlight machine. I didn't want to be a sports center anchor. But as soon as I got the chance to call a live event and sort of lend my personality and my style to that, I just felt like it was a much better fit for my skill set. And I try to direct everything there. So if you want to be on the air, crystallize exactly what it is you like to do and what you're good at and start doing that. Nothing is bigger or better or more important than repetition. So if you want to be on the radio, start a podcast, even if your girlfriend and Carl Yastrzemski and your mom are the only ones listening, right? Start a podcast. Do it every week, do it 45 to 50 times a year. And then all of a sudden you look up and now you have a body of work if somebody's going to hire you for a potential radio gig. So get repetitions in your space because you never know when an opportunity is going to present itself and you want to make sure you're as ready as possible. And I had an audition at ESPN Radio. I thought I was driving from Watertown, Mass to Bristol for an interview. It ended up being an audition. They put me on the air. I did the 4:20 p.m. Eastern update live on national radio. And I tell that story often because you're either ready or you're not. And thankfully, I was ready. And doing a podcast, getting repetitions by any means necessary is going to make you ready when even an unforeseen opportunity all of a sudden comes down the pike.
How is your podcast going with Kenny Florian?
We started our podcast April of 2015, 8 years ago, right? The show got bought by DraftKings this year, right? But there were plenty of lean years where we were spending money and not making money. Our wives wondered what the hell we were doing, right? But we stayed the course. We focused on the content, focused on being there every Monday, and finally it broke, you know?
Well, I just want to thank John again. I thought he had some great answers, and he's an unusual broadcaster. He's willing to say stuff about, as you heard, marijuana use, which, you know, you never hear mainstream broadcasters talk about that. So that was very daring, and people accuse broadcasters like John for not just being a robot, basically, and just sticking to the game. So I really enjoyed that talk. It was great to hear from my old pal, and I wish him well in the upcoming months here for the UFC. And that's it for us here from live from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Andy Mounter, hoping you will come back next week for another edition of the Broadcasters Broadcast. And of course, I'm going to have maybe a line, sort of a sign-off that every broadcaster has. So the one I'm going to steal this, and I heard this the other day. Just stand tall and keep swinging. Broadcasters Broadcast was created by Andy Mounter and edited by Andy Mounter and put on the internet by Andy Mounter, with special thanks to Mackenzie Hager. This has been a Messy Pizza production.